whatsoever will. Let him come.
You are listening to a message from Calvary Fellowship of Ottawa. For more information about our church, or more importantly, how to have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, please visit our website, calvaryottawa.ca. Now, if you're able, open your Bible for today's study.
1 Corinthians chapter 12. We are studying these three chapters, 12, 13, and 14, looking at what the Apostle Paul has to say about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Somebody thought I was a Baptist, and we've got to solve that quickly. Paul says, I don't want you to be uninformed. Did anybody look up the other reference about being uninformed in the New Testament? Anybody look that one up? Where that same phrase, I don't want you to be uninformed, but something else in the New Testament. All right, we'll wait for next week. Obviously, we want to be uninformed. Oh, there's two places. This is one of them. There's another one. I'll let you look. Maybe next week we'll find it. Anyway, last week we talked about the Holy Spirit. We talked about the three relationships that the Holy Spirit has with mankind. Anybody can say one of those three? Shout them out. What's that? Upon you. Yes, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Is that for the Christian or for the non-Christian? For the Christian. What's another relationship that the Holy Spirit has with us? Inside. Comes inside of us. Yeah, that's right. And is that for the Christian or the non-Christian? Christian, all right, so those two relationships that are exclusive to the Christian, where the Holy Spirit comes inside and the Holy Spirit comes upon them. What's the third one? Alongside, the advocate, whispering in the ear, convicting of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment, and leading us to where? Repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. That's the job of the Holy Spirit's point. Now, who has that relationship with the Holy Spirit, Christian or non-Christian? All of us, yeah, non-Christians as well. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is at work in everyone's life as the advocate, whispering in the ear, leading and guiding to Jesus Christ, witnessing of Christ. One more question from last week. What is the primary evidence that someone has received the gift of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit? What's the primary evidence they've received the Holy Spirit? Amen. Love. Divine love. Unconditional love. Greater than human love. That's the key sign. Love. That's why 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is so neatly situated in between chapter 12, I don't want you to be uninformed about spiritual gifts, my brothers, and chapter 14, here's what it looks like in a church service, bros. Spiritual gifts, right? Right in the middle is love. It's the most important thing that you would receive from the Holy Spirit. The sign of all the gifts is unconditional love, God's love. All right. Having done a review, let's pray and we'll dig into our text for the evening. Lord Jesus, Heavenly Father, we are grateful to be here. We're grateful to be here with your people, looking at your word. Lord, trusting and believing that your truth is going to set us free tonight. So, Lord, would you come right now by your Spirit, open up our eyes, our ears, and our hearts, and do a miracle. Change us from the inside. And, Lord, if you want to give gifts tonight, Lord, we desire to receive them, to glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's reread it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. Oh, it's a key phrase. It shows up one more place in the Bible. Did I already say that? Kind of an interesting one. Maybe somebody else here doesn't want to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Verse 4. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation, the physical outworking of the Spirit for the common good, for the good of all. not necessarily for the good of one person, but for the good of all. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues or languages, to another the interpretation of tongues or languages. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions or gives to each one individually as he/the Spirit wills. What I want to do tonight is I want to take these first couple of gifts. We'll see how far we can get. And I want you to see these gifts in the Old Testament, in the life of Jesus, in the New Testament, and then in the current day. So let's start with the first one. It's verse 8. Look what it says. It says, "For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom." I couldn't help but think this when I was preparing for this. I was like, why is this one the first one? Like, if you and I were to come up with a list of the gifts of the Spirit, this wouldn't even be the first one. For most of us, it wouldn't even make the list. We'd be like, oh yeah, what's that other one? It wouldn't make the list because it gets no press. We're all talking about tongues and healing and prophecy. And, oh, distinguishing between spirits. What is that really all about anyway? And then, you know, but the gift of wisdom, the utterance of wisdom. And I find it fascinating that the Apostle Paul is not putting that one last, like in a list of, oh, yeah, here's the big ones. This is the big one, the big one, the big one, the big one. Oh, yeah, what are those other ones? Oh, yeah. I remember something about the utterance of wisdom in a list somewhere. No, this is the first one he lists. This, when he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit with the Apostle Paul, and he's like, oh yeah, utterance of wisdom. That's top of the pile. That's the one I think the Apostle Paul probably recognized the most, maybe operated in the most frequently, maybe thought was, forgive the expression, a gateway gift. Some of you got it, some of you didn't. But you understand what I'm saying? This is one, quite honestly, might have more power sometimes than some of the other ones. Crazy to think about. What does this look like in the Old Testament? Glad you asked. There's a bunch of great examples in the Old Testament. I'll give you one of them, an early one. Genesis chapter 41. Check this out. Why don't you turn there with me? Genesis chapter 41. While you're turning there, let me tell you some couple of things about wisdom. Good definition for wisdom is found in James chapter 3, verse 17. Here's what Pastor James has to say. He says, "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere." James chapter 3, verse 17. Here's what it looks like in the Old Testament. Genesis chapter 41, Pharaoh, who is king of Egypt, has a troubling dream. And no one in his kingdom can tell him what the dream is about or what's going to happen. Finally, they find a guy in the dungeon who's a Hebrew and has interpreted some dreams for some of the guys that were in the dungeon. And it came out the way that he said it would. So they get him cleaned up and they bring him up to the Pharaoh, and it is none other than Joseph. We pick up the story in verse 16, Genesis chapter 41, verse 16. Joseph answered Pharaoh, "It's not in me. God will give Pharaoh a favorable answer." Joseph said, "This is not something that I possess. I don't possess this ability. God possesses this ability to interpret dreams." So Pharaoh tells him the dream, and then he gives him a recommendation based off the dream of what he should do. Pick up the story in verse 37. "This proposal pleased Pharaoh and all his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, 'Can we find a man like this in whom is the Spirit of God?' Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, since God has shown you all this, there is none so discerning and wise as you are. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall order themselves as you command. Only as regards the throne will I be greater than you. And Pharaoh said to Joseph, see, I have set you over all the land of Egypt. He went from zero to hero right there in that one statement. That's that gift of wisdom. Here's what it looks like. It's an impossible situation. Nobody knows what to do. They're all stuck. Not knowing where's the right way, where's the wrong way. We don't know which one to take. And then God gives his servant the gift of wisdom who comes in. And that little gift of wisdom, that little word coming in, clears the whole thing up. This is exactly what we should do. Makes it crystal clear. It's the gift of wisdom. What did it look like in Jesus' life? Oh, by the way, there's other examples in the Old Testament. In fact, they're all through the Old Testament. You might think of Solomon and a certain baby. You might think of Daniel. Several occasions operated in that gift of wisdom. Interesting gift. Jesus, lots of examples. I'll give you my favorite. Matthew chapter 22. Since I'm the preacher, I get to pick all my favorite ones. And you guys get to listen to them. It's great. Matthew chapter 22, the story starts in verse 15. And all the religious leaders hated him. And so they wanted to trap him in his words. And so one of the times that they did this, they said, hey, and they butter him all up with all this stuff. And then they say, should we pay taxes to Caesar or not? And it's a trick question. It's a trap question. If he says, yes, you should pay taxes to Caesar, all of the people in Israel would automatically hate him because they hated the Romans. And here he's siding with the occupiers. How could you do that? So the Pharisees win. If he says, no, don't pay taxes to Caesar, that's an easy one because they just turn over to the Romans and they go, look, insurrectionist, arrest him. There's your guy right there. And problem solved. Pharisees win. It's a trick question. It's a trap question. What does Jesus do? You pick up the story in verse 18, Matthew chapter 22, verse 18. But Jesus, aware of their malice, said, why put me to the test, you hypocrites? So meek and mild. It comforts me when he says that. I just show me the coin for the tax. And they brought him a denarius. And Jesus said to them, whose likeness and inscription is this? They said, Caesar's. Then he said to them, therefore, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. When they heard it, they marveled, and they left him and went away. Why did they marvel? Wisdom. He just told them right there, give the guy his money, and you who are made in the likeness and inscription of God, give yourself to God. That's what he just told them. And they just went, impossible situation. Until wisdom comes in and it blows it wide open, makes it very simple, very easy to see what to do. What about the New Testament? New Testament, great example. Lots of them. The council in Acts chapter 15. Paul there on the boat in Acts chapter 27 telling him not to sail. It's a gift of wisdom. They had disobeyed him. Didn't work out well. Good for Paul, bad for them and all their cargo. But I think the best example, Acts chapter 6. Turn there with me. Acts chapter 6. This one is beautiful because it's all about the goal of each one of the gifts. What is the goal of each one of the gifts? What's its end result? It's the glory of God and it's the witness of Jesus Christ. The goal of all of the gifts is that God is speaking of Jesus Christ the Savior. That's the goal of each gift. The heart or the motivation or the soul, the unifying force of each gift is what? It's love. It comes from love. So that's how we recognize it. We recognize it because it comes from love, divine love, and its goal and its aim is the witness of Jesus Christ. That's how we recognize it. No one speaking by the Spirit can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit, right? Or Jesus is a curse. It's not from the Spirit. It's that goal of that gift is to witness of Jesus Christ. So look at this. Acts chapter 6. Stephen has been chosen to be a deacon, and he got that job because he had a good reputation of being wise and filled with the Holy Spirit. And the end of Acts chapter 6, he's out witnessing. Verse 8, Acts 6, verse 8, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Then some of those who belonged to the synagogue of the freedmen, as it was called, and of the Cyrenians and of the Alexandrians and of those from Cilicia and Asia rose up and disputed with Stephen. But they could not withstand the wisdom and the spirit with which he was speaking. And that was actually a fulfillment of what Jesus said in Luke chapter 21. Jesus in Luke chapter 21 verse 14 said this, "Settle it therefore in your minds not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict." There's an example of that in Stephen. He stepped out in faith to witness of Jesus Christ. They began to dispute with him, and then out of his mouth came wisdom. He didn't have it beforehand. They weren't able to withstand it. Great example. New Testament example. So here you go. This gift of wisdom shows up from the Holy Spirit in an impossible situation. We don't know which way to go, left or right. It'll witness of Jesus Christ, and it's based in love. So there's an Old Testament example in the life of Jesus, and now a New Testament example, and I just got to ask, is there a current example? Anybody give us an example of the gift of wisdom in operation in your life? I came prepared just in case. Heather. The Lord gives you wisdom on how to handle it each month. Yeah, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Good example. Go ahead. Stand up so we can hear you. Amen. So he's guiding you when you're witnessing to your brother, and you recognize it. That doesn't come from me. Made him think. Praise the Lord. That's a great example. Great example of the gift of wisdom. And it's impossible without it, right? Margie. Amen. And that's important because that's an impossible situation. Samir. Amen. I'll give you one example, and then we'll move on to the next gift. I'll give you one example that I've experienced. I was at a pastor's conference hanging out with a friend who was a pastor, senior pastor, and he had trouble in his church, and it looked like a coup. It looked like there was a large group of people in the church that were trying to oust him from being a pastor or split the church and go off and start something else. And so we were talking about it the whole week of the pastor's conference and trying to figure out, because I was familiar with his church and who the people were and the leaders were and that kind of thing, trying to figure out, well, what's really going on here and how can we solve this? And every time we would talk about it, you know, you say stuff and you give these ideas and you're just like, yeah, that's not it. That ain't going to work. That ain't going to work. And it was interesting, at one point in the conference, we were just singing some praise songs at the end of a Bible study. And all of a sudden, I heard the Holy Spirit say, "I am the vine, and you are the branches, and my Father is the gardener, and he cuts off every branch in me that does not bear fruit." And I looked at my friend, and I said, "Just hold on, man, don't do nothing. I think the gardener's about to go through your church and cut off some branches." Wild situation. And I knew it was the Holy Spirit. It wasn't too much longer. One of the elders in that church was caught in adultery and in a bad gambling habit. And we had no idea. It was him that was causing all the problems. We thought he was one of the good guys. But when he was outed and then obviously removed from his place of leadership, and he left the church as well. Sad, but he left the church as well. Left his marriage as well. It's just a really bad story. That church came together like nothing else. and is strong and tight today for the glory of God. Had no idea it was that guy. But the gardener came through and went. And right when that word came, peace. Just peace. The gift of wisdom. I wasn't that smart. I know, because I remember all the stuff I said before that. One more thing I want to say about this. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 31. No wisdom, no understanding, no counsel can avail against the Lord. Why is it? Because he is the very definition of wisdom, of counsel, of insight, and of understanding. That is the Lord. So it makes sense that he would give his children the gift of his perspective on a situation. If any man lack, let him ask of God. Maybe that's why it's a gateway gift. Because there's a guarantee. If you're in a situation that you don't understand, what do I do? How do I handle myself in this situation? Man, get on your knees and ask God for wisdom. Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you see this situation? Lord, how do you see this relationship? How do you see my roommate? How do you see my professor? How do you see my spouse? How do you see my child? How do you see my parent? How do you want me to act in this situation? And it's a guarantee. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men liberally. Maybe that's why it's the first gift listed. Because he's got the corner on wisdom. Amen. All right, back to 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8. Let's look at the second one. We got time for the second one. Was that good? Did that help? Yeah? Oh, amen. First, that's one of my favorite ones right there, the gift of wisdom. I love that one. I just love that one. I prayed for that one 3 days ago. I prayed for the gift of wisdom in a situation 3 days ago, and not 10, 15 minutes later, I heard the Holy Spirit speak to me and give me his perspective on it. Love it. Makes me look smarter than I really am. Ask my wife. She'll tell you. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 8. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. Oh, I just want to say something. You can scratch this out of the recording if you want to. I heard a story a week ago about somebody in this church calling up somebody else in this church and giving them the gift of wisdom on a particular situation. And when I heard it, I went, oh my goodness, how wise from somebody so young. I wish I could tell you the story, but they didn't raise their hand. It's a great story, juicy. Anyway, to another, the utterance of knowledge. Sometimes it's hard to be the pastor because you know more stuff than everybody else knows and you want to share it all and you can't. You have to wait 5 years and then you can share it and then nobody cares because it's old. To another, the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. So what's up with this gift? This gift is information that is not known naturally. And God just gives it supernaturally. So it's like a secret. Nobody knows. But the Lord knows. And he tells somebody. And now they know. And they come and they tell the person that's involved. It's the gift of knowledge. Old Testament example. Oh, some great ones. Nathan, the prophet, coming to David. He knew. 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha, knowing supernaturally every time the king of Aram set up an ambush against Israel, he knew it. And he would tell the king, and the king of Israel would totally spring the trap. And the king of Aram's like, all right, who's the mole? And they're like, there's a prophet, and he says what you're saying in your bedroom. He says it to the king of Israel. That's that gift of knowledge. One of my favorites, though, Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon has a dream and it troubles him. He knows it's about the future and he knows it's about him, but he can't figure it out. It troubles him. And he starts to think that all of his advisors are corrupt. And so he says to them, hey, you guys tell me the dream and then tell me the interpretation. And they're like, come on, how are we supposed to tell you the dream? You tell us the dream, we'll give you the interpretation. He goes, no. You tell me the dream and then you tell me the interpretation and that way I won't kill you. They're like, nobody can do that. Nobody's ever asked that. He goes, that's it, you're dead. Daniel, Hebrew boy, stuck out there. He hears about this. He's like, whoa, I didn't even get a chance to answer the question. You're going to kill me. I didn't even get a chance. He says, ask the king to give us a little bit of time to pray. The God of heaven, the Ancient of Days, he knows what the dream was. Maybe he'll give it to us. You look up the story, Daniel chapter 2. God tells Daniel exactly what the dream was and then what it meant. And Daniel shows up to King Nebuchadnezzar and says, here's what your dream was and here's what it meant. And King Nebuchadnezzar says, that's my boy. You're in charge of everything. It's wise. These gifts get you up in positions of responsibility. Some of you guys are working some tough jobs, doing all the physical labor. I would encourage you, pray for these gifts. You might end up running something. Climb up the pole a little bit, you know. Nothing wrong with working hard, but maybe God wants to give you a gift. You never know. Anyway, so information that nobody knows. How about in the life of Jesus? Well, we could talk about John chapter 1, how Jesus saw Nathanael under the fig tree. And nobody knew what Nathanael was doing under the fig tree. We still don't know what Nathanael was doing under the fig tree. But Nathanael was amazed that Jesus saw him under the fig tree because he thought nobody saw him underneath the fig tree. But Jesus did see him under the fig tree. And it kind of freaked him out and he followed him. It's a gift of knowledge. But how about the one in John chapter 4 with the woman at the well? And they get in this big conversation. It turns into a theological debate. And then Jesus says, go get your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. And then Jesus, quote, John chapter 4, verse 17, says, you are right in saying, I have no husband, for you've had five husbands, and the one you now have is not your husband. What you've said is true. How did you know that? Because he knows everything. How about a New Testament example? Oh, lots of them. Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira sold a piece of property, gave the proceeds as a donation to the church. The trouble was that they held back part of the proceeds and gave the gift as if to get the credit for giving all of it, and they were lying. And Peter stands there and says, "Who? How dare you lie to the Holy Spirit?" He knew. And then his wife comes in. And he says it again to her. He knew. How did he know? By the Spirit. By the Holy Spirit. He knew. Again, information that is not known naturally, but revealed supernaturally for the purpose of testifying to the glory of Jesus Christ and witnessing of him. If you read the end of the story in Acts chapter 5 with Ananias and Sapphira, the result of that story was the fear of God fell on everybody and the church grew like crazy. That was the end of that story. Why did the Holy Spirit do that? Because there needed to be a holy reverence and a holy awe for a holy God. It's always pointed towards Jesus Christ. It always comes from love. It completely makes sense that God, who sees and knows and created everything, would reveal things to his children from time to time for the purpose of pointing people to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Knowing these biblical examples, how about a current example? The gift from the Lord. Yeah. Just a gift from the Lord. Out of his love for that guy. Yeah. And witnessing of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Mark. He was able to tell you what was going on in your life. You've been looking for him. Say, how did you know that? Yeah. So you were a recipient of that gift. Yeah.
Were you up to no good at that point? Or? Amen. Peter. That's why I'm so interested in this story. Yes, the Holy Spirit does move in Baptist churches. They may not recognize it this way, but that was definitely a gift of the Spirit. No doubt about it. She wasn't a cessationist after that. I cannot think of a better way to close this Bible study than to pray and ask the Holy Spirit to give gifts. And then for us to come out of here this week or even tonight, when we break up into groups of two and three, just to be open to the Holy Spirit and what He might want to say or what He might want to do. You say, well, Andy, how will I recognize His voice? A couple of ways. It's going to come from love. Not for you, but for the other person. It'll point towards Christ. And it'll probably make you humble. In other words, you'll have to be you'll be afraid to say it. You'll feel awkward to say it. That's usually a good sign that it's a gift from the Holy Spirit. Makes little of us and much of Jesus Christ. Amen? So I can't think of a better way to close it. If you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus, can I encourage you to turn your attention towards Jesus Christ? There has never been a man that has graced the planet Earth like this man. Never been one. He was perfect in every way. He was executed unjustly. He died. He was dead for 3 days. These are the facts. But he didn't stay dead. On the third day, he rose again. And he was seen over the next 40 days by hundreds of people. And on that 40th day, he ascended into heaven in front of everyone, telling everyone that he would come back again and he would make earth right. He would bring order. The Bible very clearly says that his death was a gift to anybody that would receive it. In other words, your sin can be paid for through Christ's death. There can be a substitution. If you will, tonight, pray. Ask God to forgive you of your sins because of what Jesus did on the cross. The Bible says that God will forgive you of your sins and He will, in that moment, enter into a personal relationship with you. The Creator of the universe will have a personal relationship with you, and He will give proof of it, guarantee of it, by giving you the Holy Spirit to reside on the inside of you, and that'll change you. If I asked for a show of hands across this room as to whether or not what I just said is true, enthusiastic hands would come up all over this place, because it is true. And God loves you. That's why He has you here tonight to hear this. Don't walk away from His offer. It's an offer of life everlasting, of joy and of peace and of truth. Don't walk away. If you'd like to talk with somebody about that tonight, there's a couple of people that have volunteered to talk with you. And that's my friends Matt and Ashley Solheim. You guys just wave your hands. When we break up into groups of two and three, maybe you would want to just seek those guys out. You can ask them questions. They would love to talk with you. They may not know all the answers, but they'd love to give an opportunity for the gift of wisdom to work in their life. And they'd love to pray with you. They know what it's like to come to Christ. Amen? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, You are the one that when You ascended, gave gifts to men. Lord, this is Your word. These are Your promises. Lord, we would never have thought anything like this up. The gift of wisdom and the gift of knowledge. But Lord, I just believe that You have us in this text right now, and You have us here tonight to hear it and to be reminded of it. Lord, you want to move. You want to make much of Jesus Christ. And so, Lord, open our eyes. Open our spirits. Lord, make us open to what you want to say through us. Give us the grace to humble ourselves, submit to your leading. Lord, if there's some of us here tonight that are hanging on to sin, not willing to confess it, get rid of it. Lord, may your sweet conviction come even right now. And may it make that sin seem so disgusting to us and your grace so desirable. Lord, you are a good God, you are a gracious Father, and you're a gentle corrector. We love you. We're looking forward to your soon return. May we be effective witnesses of you this week. Lord, as you give us the grace, as you give us the courage, as you give us your gifts, Lord, we love you. Jesus, amen.
Come to the Father, come through the Son, come back, Spirit, find freedom.
Thanks for listening. We hope this message has helped you to walk closer to the Lord. If you'd like to get in touch with us, please contact us through our website, calvaryottawa.ca. May the Lord richly bless you. So